Let me go over a kingdom concept with you today from Luke 12, verse 31. You're going to find, if you're familiar with Matthew 6, that this echoes Matthew 6, 32. But Luke 12, 31 says, "But seek his kingdom." Jesus is speaking. Of course, he's talking about the kingdom of God. "And these things will be provided for you. Don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom." Now, if you've been here for a couple of years, then you can probably mouth this with me, and I'm not going to go over all of it, but if you're new, this might be new for you. But you need to know that one of the things that we talk about here a lot that is a major cornerstone for who we are at Deeper Life is we believe that the kingdom of God is here. Because for one thing, that's what Jesus said when he stepped on the scene. He said, "The kingdom of God is here." In other words, he was saying, "I have shown up and I brought my kingdom with me, and you can get in on it." What's a kingdom? It's the rule and reign of a king. It's where a king has authority, where he says what he says goes. It's where a king rules and reigns, and it affects the lives of the people who are citizens of that kingdom. They are under the rule and reign of the king. Okay, so since that's what a kingdom is, that the kingdom of God is here, what does that mean for us? Well, that means that Jesus has made available to us the ability, the opportunity to have our lives come up under the rule and reign of God. Now, we have to understand, for that to be good news for us, we have to understand that God is good. And His rule and His reign, His way, His will is always good. It's always good. So when we begin to understand that, that becomes good news for us. If you don't trust God, if you don't love God, if you don't believe that God's good, then the fact that He reigns is not good news. But when we begin to trust Him and love Him, if He reigns, if God rules and He can do what He wants to do, then that becomes good news and you want to be a part of that. So last night, I was, again, the last few days, I've really been not struggling, but really wrestling with the Lord over this series, especially we're going to start. Because, again, I don't want to leave anything out. I've really been wrestling with God over it. And Marianne can tell you, it hadn't been very much fun to be around me at home because I'm kind of like in a cartoon with a little dark cloud that follows somebody around us. But I'm trying to hear the Lord on this. And last night we were watching a film some of y'all have seen called Finger of God. Anybody seen that? It's an awesome, awesome film. We'll show it here pretty soon on a Sunday night. It's incredible. It's a guy who just made a documentary on his own with his video camera over about a year's time of miracles. And basically he went to churches that where people said something's going on there, and he began to tape these things and it was awesome stuff, and took him to different churches and then to Mozambique and China and all this and cool stuff. I mean, wild, amazing. It's really cool, and what it did is just kind of fans into flame this thing of me, this obsession that I have with the kingdom of God. And so last night I couldn't go to sleep, and I was kind of laying there, and I realized that, and you may not know this, but as a pastor, as a preacher, a lot of things vie for your attention. There's lots of things that would love to be preached. There's lots of things you read in the scripture or things you can think of. It's, ooh, people, we need to talk about this. We need to learn about that. But I began to just say, God, what is it? What is that one thing for me? What's the one thing that makes me go back week after week, you know, month after month, year after year? What is it that drives me? What's the one thing that I'm living for? And I've had people tell me before, you need to have a life's mission statement. And I couldn't just come up with one. I had one pastor who said, you guys need to come up with a life mission statement. He wouldn't tell us what his was because he didn't want us to copy it. So anyway, last night I felt like it came to me. And so I grabbed my phone that was next to the bed and started typing, and it was the only thing I had to write with. So let me read it. So I am going to give you mine, but you can't have it. This is mine. You need to come up with your own. Hear the Lord. But just so you know, I guess I just kind of want to, I don't know, I guess it's just a little insight as to why we're going to go where we're going and where we've been going. This is what captures my heart. The recreation and restoration of every life that comes under submission to the heaven-replicating power of the rule and reign of God, and the multiplication of that transformation in so many people that we see in our reality a kingdom-saturated cultural reformation. Now, that may not make any sense to you. Lots of big words in there. So I'm going to break it down, yo. All right. Not really. I'm just going to read it again. So, I'll read slower and louder, which is like the key to foreign language. What is your name? All right. This really is, though. This is what keeps me going. This is what I, honestly, I just got to be honest with you. This is what I live for. I mean, what I'm reading, this is what I live for. This is what captures my heart. The recreation and restoration of every life that comes under submission to the heaven-replicating power of the rule and reign of God. And the multiplication of that transformation in so many people that we see in our reality a kingdom-saturated cultural reformation. I want to see the rule and reign of God, the power of God and His kingdom change every life that comes close to it. And I want to see so many of those happen, so many of those changes happen, that it changes our society, it changes our culture. It reforms everything. Does that make sense? All right. So that, you know, if you're new here today, there you go. That's what I'm all about. I mean, pretty much. And I find when I get away from that, if I get distracted from that, I get so frustrated. It's like teaching a pig to sing. You know, but when I feed on that again, man, I mean, I just get... Last night, I dreamed all night. I dreamed all night that I was all over the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I dreamed that I was in some Muslim country, and there were thousands of Muslims who were asking me to tell them about the kingdom. And then I went from there to somewhere else, and it was amazing. I mean, this is what I dream about. This is so literally. Now, as pastor, it's my job and my calling for everybody who will come up under my ministry to get that, to be those transformed lives. I want all of us to be those, to have that recreating transformation multiplied in us so that it changes our culture. Now, in order to do that, though, we have to begin to learn the principles of the kingdom of God. All of this is preface for me to say to you, let it fall. To say, what I'm going to talk to you about today, everybody, is probably going to raise more questions in you than I have answers for. Because what we're going to talk about the kingdom concept of keys. What we're going to talk about is going to require you, listen, if it's going to impact your life at all, it's going to require you to hear God for yourself. You're just going to have to do it. You're going to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, hearing the Holy Spirit, where you're going to have to learn how to hear the voice of God, how to know the heart of God, how to read Scripture and see God's heart revealed to you and know Him better and know what He's like. I'm just going to lay a principle out before you that's going to require you, if you're going to walk with it, it's going to require you just to take it to the Lord. I can't give you just a bunch of answers today. Now, I'll give you some examples and illustrations on how this works. But other than that, you're just going to have to take it and run with it. Does that make sense? Okay, so y'all willing to do that? Let me pray for you. Let's ask the Lord to do this. Father, right now, Lord, we ask you to come and reign on us. Reign among us. Lord, even today, I ask you, Father, to quicken our hearts, quicken our spirits. Father, if there's anything in us that has been dead to you, raise that from the dead right now so we can hear your voice. Lord, I pray that for all of us in this room, we'll hear truth, we'll hear from you so that we'll be able to be changed. Lord, change us by your voice and your presence today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Luke 12. I'll tell you, we read Luke 12. Move to Matthew 16. Let's go there. The good news in Luke 12 is this. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure, it is His great delight to give you the kingdom. So the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, the government of God, the governmental system that belongs to Him, that is displayed in heaven, has now been made available to earth, to us, to our lives. In other words, God, through Jesus, has made a way for heaven to invade earth, to change our lives and make them look more like they would if we were in heaven. That's the heaven replicating power of the kingdom. That's God's desire. That's His mission, is to redeem the earth with the power of His kingdom. Does that make sense so far? All right. So Jesus said, it is delighted. God gets real excited about giving you the kingdom. So God doesn't give you His power, His rule, and His reign to change lives. Just He doesn't do it begrudgingly. He doesn't do it. You don't have to convince Him of it. He doesn't do it slowly. God is ready. He's just excited about His children getting in on His kingdom on the earth. And He really likes that. I mean, that is something that that's what captures His heart. All right. Matthew 16, verse 13. Let's see something here. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And of course, He's talking about Himself. And they said, "Some say you are John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you," He asked them, "who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." In other words, you're not smart enough to have figured this out on your own. I mean, Peter, Simon, we know you. We all know you here. You know you. This is not something you could have come up with on your own. This had to be revealed to you by the Father. "And I also say to you that you are Peter." I'm going to start calling you Rocky. That's what Petra means, a rock. "Because, man, you are solid. And I'm telling you, the confession you just made, on this confession, on the rock of the truth of who I am, I will build my church. And the forces of hell will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you..." He's not talking just to Peter, but to the church. "Whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." All right, now, there's a word there. It's a small two-letter word that we have read for too long as the wrong two-letter word. We need to see. Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" He's kind of taking a survey. What are people saying about me out there? They said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're one of the prophets who's come back." Jesus said, "Okay, what do you guys think? You've been hanging around with me for a while. What do you think?" And Peter said, "I know who you are. You are the one that we've all been waiting for generations, who will bring the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God back to the earth. That's who you are." Jesus said, "It was good. Good answer. Well, no, you didn't figure that out because you couldn't have gotten that. But the fact that you heard that from my Father in heaven is a cool thing. And so this confession of who I am, this truth of who I am, is a rock on which I will build my church." So Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church on the truth that I am the one who was bringing to earth the rule and reign of God." Because that's who the Messiah was. That's who they were waiting for. Now, they were waiting for a political, geopolitical, nationalistic kind of expression of that for Israel. But Jesus said, no, the rule and reign of God is much bigger than any nation. It's going to cover the whole earth. And so here's who I am. So Jesus said, on this truth of that I am the one who brings the kingdom of God to earth, that's what I'm going to build my church on. Now, the Greek word, you know, this is written in Greek. That's the language of the day. And the word that this was written in, the word for church, is ekklesia. Now, you may have heard that before. That's been taught many times. And I've heard lots of definitions for what ekklesia is. But let me tell you what it really means. Ekklesia is a Greek word that came out of the Greek culture. And it's not a religious word at all. This word that we get the word church from has nothing to do with religion. It's a governmental word. It's a political term. Jesus is saying, He was taking something out of the Hellenistic Greek culture of the day, because they had invented democracy. They were toying with this idea of democracy. They didn't really develop it all the way. When the Romans came in and took over, the Romans took it and developed it. And so this is why Caesar had such a powerful empire, because they took a hold of this thing and they kind of mixed some things with this whole idea of a kingdom. And so, but here's what the ecclesia is. The ecclesia means the called out ones. And it was referred to as the Roman Senate, but it's not Senate like we think of Senate. We think of Senate and Congress and all that. We think of people that we elect that speak for us. This is the other way around. This is more like, the ecclesia is more like the cabinet of a president or a prime minister or something in a modern day democracy. The ecclesia are the hand-picked people, hand-picked by the king himself, who will be the closest to him, whose job it is to get his heart, get his mind, and enact legislation that will enforce his will among all the people. The ecclesia are the ones whose job it is to hear the heart of the king and be the conduits of His will being done in the world. That's the ecclesia. Handpicked, the cabinet. These are the ones. See, now, we hear that and we immediately think, okay, well, I know who that is. That's so-and-so's ministry, and that's so-and-so, the TV preacher, and that's so-and-so who has a big church, and that's this guy who has 20,000 members of his church, or that's this guy, or it's, you know, Paul Cho in South Korea. He's got 200,000 people in his church. Okay, that's who the ecclesia is. Wrong. The ecclesia is not just the superstars of Christendom. The ecclesia is everybody who has been chosen by God. Jesus said, you know, you think you chose me, but I've chosen you. Everybody who has given their life to Jesus, who is now part of the church, the called out ones, they are that ecclesia. You know who that is? That's you. Congratulations. Welcome to the inner circle. That's you. If you've given your life to Christ, you've brought your life up under His rule and reign. Let me tell you something. You are now chosen by God to hear His heart, to get His mind on matters, and to enforce His will right where people walk. That's you. You are the representative. It's like you're, oh, I don't know, maybe an ambassador. You're the ones now, you're the ecclesia whose job and privilege it is to hear the heart of the King and enforce that among the people. The people who have not heard the heart of the King yet. Now, everybody in the church gets to do that. Everybody gets to play, not just the superstars. But you know who gets to do it first? The ones who listen first. The ones who actually get the heart of the King, who find out what this is. So, here's the two-letter word we've missed, though. Jesus said, I'm giving you, in order to be the ecclesia, in order to enforce the will of the King, you're going to have something to do that. And so I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Now, here's how I've read it all these years until just recently. I read it like this, that Jesus said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys so that you can get into the kingdom. That's not what He said. Jesus is saying to the disciples, okay, you guys are going to be in the kingdom before long. Holy Spirit's going to come. You guys are going to remember all this stuff, and you'll find that you are in the kingdom. You are part of this whole government of God that's going to be on the earth. You're in the kingdom. He said, now, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom, the keys that belong to the kingdom, the keys that enable you to be the ecclesia, that enable you to enforce the rule and reign of God on the earth in people's lives. I'm going to give you the keys to do that. So, God then has given us, since it is His great delight to give us the kingdom, He has also given us, listen, you have keys of the kingdom in your possession right now. There's a problem with that, though. Where are they? There they are. I have my keys here. I know I'm important because I have lots of keys because it's really heavy. But I realized this morning I have three keys on my key ring that I have absolutely no idea what they go to. I sincerely don't know. I don't know what these keys are for. Three of them right there. And now, why are they still on my key ring? Because I know as soon as I take them off, I'm going to come up against a locked door. Doop! That's what that key is for. But however, they've been on there for years. And I haven't found that door yet. And so, listen, here's the thing, everybody. Having keys is not enough. You can have all the keys in the world, but that doesn't help you until you know what those keys unlock. Having a key that you don't know what it unlocks is as useless as having a lock that you don't have a key for. And you ever found that? You ever come to your fence or whatever and there's a lock on it? You don't know where the key is, or it's a combination lock. You've forgotten the combination. You ever do that in school? Or you have dreams that you've forgotten your combination? You know, that kind of thing. All right. It's a frustrating thing for something to be locked up that you can't unlock because you don't know how to use the key. Y'all, but all of us in this room have been given the keys of the kingdom. The problem is we have not developed a mindset that said, Father, show me how to use the keys. Because, y'all, listen, there's been a whole lot of messages preached in this thing of binding and loosing. There have been volumes of books that have written. Most of them are completely screwy. I'm telling you. On the whole binding and loosing thing, there's a whole lot of weird stuff out there with that. Let me tell you what it's about. It's about keys. Jesus said, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. Here's how you use a key. When you understand how to use the keys of the kingdom of God, and as the ecclesia, you get to enforce his will, here's what's going to happen. You're going to be able to unlock things on earth that are already unlocked in heaven. And you are going to be able to lock up things on earth that God's already locked up in heaven. You get the keys. That's all he's saying. So, well, how do I know what's open and what's unlocked? Ask God. Ask the Father. That means you're going to have to spend time with him. I can't give you all those answers right now. Now, what I can do, what we will do week after week, year after year, is I will preach on the principles of the kingdom of God, how the kingdom works. And as we discover these things together, we'll see principles and we'll understand how the keys work. Now, I'll give you an example here, just a little bit of what this means and how it impacts somebody's life. But the fact of the matter is, everybody, you're going to have to ask the Lord, God, as I read your word today, would you reveal to me a key of the kingdom? Show me how I can use my authority in your kingdom to unlock and lock stuff up according to what's unlocked and locked in heaven. If there's sickness on the earth that needs to be locked up, I want to lock it up. Jesus was in a boat with the disciples, and they were crossing the Sea of Galilee, and the storm hit. You may know this story. And they knew they were going to sink. They were going to get sunk. They just knew it. These were experienced fishermen. They were scared to death. They're running around crazy. Jesus, meanwhile, is asleep in the hull of the boat. And so they wake him up. Jesus, we're about to die, and you don't even care. You don't even care about us. And can you help us? You can do something? And so Jesus comes up on deck, and he says, what's the matter with you guys? I mean, what, you know, you have a little faith. How come you're not doing something about this? You know what he was saying? Hey, guys, what's wrong with your keys? Where are your keys? How come you're not using your keys? So Jesus said, let me show you again how to do this. So Jesus took his key of the kingdom, and he locked up the storm. He shut it down, closed it down, he locked it up. He said, peace, be still, I have the authority over this deal, so this is, you know, we need to get on the other side. This storm, not of God, close it down, I'm going back to sleep, I'm going to go finish my nap, I'll see you on the other side. Jesus showed them how to use the key to unlock it. About another one, about when... In fact, right after he said this, 5,000 people, that was just the men. There was probably 15, 20,000 people who had followed him, who were listening to him teach. And it got to be evening time. They're all hungry. The disciples said, hey, Jesus, these people are hungry. We don't know what to do. And Jesus said, well, give them something to eat if they're hungry. Duh. Give them something to eat. And they said, all we have is, and they began to enumerate what all they had. And Jesus said, okay, let me show you how to use the keys of the kingdom. So he took the bread, and he took the fish, and he broke it, and he thanked God. Father, thank you that you are the Lord over all this. And so, okay, everybody, go pass this out. Passed it out, had baskets left over. Listen, let me tell you something. When you begin to understand how to use your keys, you no longer will you ever say again, all I have is. When you begin to understand what's available to you in the kingdom, all I have is gone from your vocabulary forever. See, because you begin to realize what I think I have really is not the issue. I've opened enough doors in the kingdom. I've seen into enough storehouses to know what God can do. So it doesn't really matter what all I have. What matters is what all he has. See, then you begin to pray with authority. Does that make sense? You start moving out of this thing of, oh, I don't have enough and my life is just terrible and I'm just trying to struggle through to make it. You're saying, wait a minute, I saw God move. I know. See, Marianne and I were talking last night. If all I had, everybody, to refer back to in my experience was standing next to Lee McDougall the night he got healed of Parkinson's disease, if that's the only experience I'd ever had, that's enough. Because now, if I pray for healing for somebody, it's not, oh, I've never seen anybody healed. I don't know if God can do this. Listen, if that's all I have, then say, you know what? I got a peek inside that door that night, and I know what God can do. And so my resources is a non-issue. God can heal. And it's given me boldness to pray for healing people that I've never had before. Because all I have is not in your cabinet anymore. So Jesus shows them how to use the key. But for you to discover those keys, you're going to have to read the Word of God. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to ask the Lord to speak to you. You are. But I have good news for you. Oh, here's the good news. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yeah, he's really is excited about that. I mean, that makes him laugh. And so God's really excited. When you start saying, Father, I'm going to read your word today. I'm going to open up and start reading right here. God, would you show me a key on how your kingdom operates, how your authority operates, so that I can pray with more authority? I want to do that. Let me tell you something. God is not going to be slow about revealing to you keys of the kingdom. He's not going to be slow about that. He's just waiting for you to ask so he can show you. All right. Turn over to John 14. Let me show you a verse there real quick. And then we'll give you a couple of examples and wrap this up. Because again, all I'm doing right now today, everybody, all I can do today is just lay out a principle in front of you that you just have to take and run with it if it's in your heart to do so. John 14, verse 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. Now, remember that. Now, go back up to verse 12. Jesus says, remember this talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit. I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Why? Well, because going to the Father, he'll send the Holy Spirit. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, guys, I'm telling you, that verse has been taken out of context way too many years by way too many people. It's been taken out of context by people who say, hey, that means you can ask for whatever you want, and God is obligated to do it. He has bound himself by his law. He said, whatever you ask in my name, the Father in heaven will do it. And so, woohoo, go crazy. Make your list, give it to God, and you send him your Santa wish list, and God says, hey, he has to do it. If he doesn't do it, then you can make him do it. Fuss at him until he does it. And there are people who don't know God who use this to mock Christians because they pray for things and they say at the end of the prayer, in Jesus' name I pray, amen, and they don't get it because they're thinking, hey, that's all I got to do is ask in his name? Well, right, God, I want a yellow Lamborghini in Jesus' name, amen. Thinking it's an incantation, you just plug it on to the end of a prayer and now God has to do it. And God's going, oh, doggone it, he said it. Said the word. Y'all, again, God is not some genie in a bottle that is obliged to fulfill your every wish just because you use the secret words. So what does it mean then to pray in Jesus' name? It means that you ask for what Jesus would ask for. You ask for something that you know he would agree with the request. Something that you know pleases his heart. Now that means you've got to know his heart. So let's say you've got a neighbor who comes to your house every morning at 10 o'clock and y'all have coffee together, and she tells you that her marriage is in deep trouble. And your marriage is fine. You haven't been there. You hadn't walked where she's walking, so you don't have any advice for her, but you want to pray for her. What do you pray? Well, you can begin by saying, all right, what do I think God wants to do in this marriage? So, well, you know what? I know God is for marriage. He's for them. So first thing I think is that God wants to restore this marriage. He wants to restore love and passion. He wants to bring them together. God wants to create something holy out of this. I think God wants to restore the marriage. All right. Then at that point, now, because you know that you have a firm conviction that's what Jesus would ask for if he were sitting at that dinner, at that breakfast table, now you can pray. Say, God, I'm asking you in Jesus' name, restore this marriage. Now you've got a power behind your request. You understand? Now there's some authority to it where it's not just saying, God, do what I want. It's saying, God, do what you want. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Now sometimes God, and Bill Johnson talks about this, that your desire, some things you desire because God has put that desire in you because he wants to see the same thing done. Let's say, well, Mark, what about the desire? I want to be better at my job. I want to excel at my job. I want to be promoted at my job. Is that wrong? You know, what do you think? You think God is for his people getting promoted in their mountain so they can be more of an influence for the kingdom? Yeah, absolutely. So now you say, God, I'm just asking you, I ask you in Jesus' name, not for me, but for you. Your will be done. Not for my pleasure, but for your pleasure. Not for my kingdom, Not to build my kingdom, but to build your kingdom. Father, would you do this? Amen. See, Jesus said, listen, you have that kind of heart, you become that kind of representative, I'm telling you, whatever you ask in the Father's name, he'll do it. Now, that's even scary for me to say as a preacher, but I didn't say it. Frankly, I'm just repeating it. I'm just quoting. Jesus is the one who said it, so if you got an issue with it, you really need to take it up with him. Don't call me, don't email me about that. So, I mean, you can, but I'm just going to tell you the same thing. I don't know. Let's just ask God about it. So, but the thing is, Jesus said, whatever you ask, listen, what Jesus is saying is this. You have no idea the power and the authority that you have because you have keys of the kingdom. Start using it. That's what he's saying. Just start using it. You will be amazed at what you see happen. All right. Okay, I'm just going to do one more thing. We've got some other things about keys. Let me just give you an example kind of too of how this works, how a key can unlock stuff. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he said this. He said, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But how many of you know this? Here's something interesting about that. Truth doesn't really set you free. Truth in and of itself does not set you free. The truth that you know to be true, and that sets you free. Truth that you know frees you. For instance, let's say in this economic downturn you've had, well, and some of you have, I think I can see some right now, they've had job issues and layoffs and financial deals going on. Now, that can cause a lot of fear, right? Anybody felt fear in the last year or so, since last November? Okay, almost everybody. Okay, it can cause fear, trepidation, apprehension, all this kind of stuff in us. But then let's say you're reading the scripture and you read in Matthew where Jesus says, listen, don't worry about having enough food or having clothes to wear. The Father knows you need these things and he'll take care of those for you. And as you read that, the Lord speaks that to you and that becomes truth for you. And you believe it. And you believe it as true because God just speaks that into your spirit. And you say, you know what? I choose to believe it. Now, if you believe that, what happens is when you begin to know that truth, and then when God, you experience that truth in your life, and the Lord shows up and you have experience, you know what happens? You know that truth, and that truth sets you free from the fear that you felt a little while ago. So it's not the truth that sets you free, it's your knowledge of the truth that sets you free. Does that make sense? And that's why Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, those verses come together. Jesus didn't say, and you'll know the truth, and then go to bed, and the next day get up and say, oh, and another thing. See, that's one thought. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth sets you free when you know it to be true. Now, let's say you begin to know this truth, you experience it, and then you've got that same neighbor maybe who's having marriage troubles. Her life's just messed up. And she comes over and says, listen, my husband just got laid off, and that's one of the reasons we're having problems. And so we're maybe they're Christians. Maybe they're baby Christians or something. And say, you know, we're just so scared of what's going to happen. And you get to share this truth with them that you know that sets you free. Now, here's what's happening. When you do that, you are using a key of the kingdom that you know what it unlocks now. Because it's unlocked something for you. You know how to use that key. And so what you're able to do is go to her and say, listen, here's something I've learned from the Lord. I think this will help you. And you share that key with them and you unlock the storehouses of heaven in her heart. And all of a sudden she begins to feel confidence in the Lord and is drawn closer to him. And fear leaves her when this truth becomes real to her. You see what's happening? You're using your key to unlock doors of heaven in the kingdom for somebody else. You know, do you understand? Wouldn't it be cool for all Christians to know what all of our keys were for? And so we run around with these pockets full of keys that we got them labeled now. We know what we have read the Word of God. We have listened to the Holy Spirit. And now we know we have learned enough of the principles of the kingdom of God. We know what keys unlock what things of heaven. And we know how to unlock healing for somebody because we saw somebody heal. We've read it. The Lord's revealed that. We know how to unlock freedom for somebody because they were bound up in fear. But we can help them be free from that. We know how to use the keys. Wouldn't it be cool if the world was covered with a bunch of believers who were just running around sticking keys in people's locks and unlocking them for them? Woohoo! I saw, the other day I was coming, I just saw a car go by and it was the Papa Lock guy. You know, the guy that, he's the one you call if you lock your keys out of your car, I guess. I'm thinking, I wonder how much money that guy makes. How many people are there like me who will find themselves locked out of their house or their car, and they call the Papa Lock guy, and he comes, says, you know, or whatever the locksmith is. And David, your dad did that for many years, right? And he made a good living because people find themselves locked out of things they don't have a key for, right? And so there are people who are skilled to know how to unlock things for people. Let me tell you something, guys. What a living to make as believers. Wouldn't that be cool for us to know God enough, to know the Scripture enough, to know the heart and the mind of God, where we as the ecclesia get the heart of God. We know how to use the keys. And in conversations with people, we can say, let me tell you something I know about God. Here's a key for you. Bam! Open that up. Here's the windows of heaven. Enjoy that for a while. Let me find somebody else. Isn't that cool? That's a great living to make. Yeah, Dave? Man, listen. See, you know what? I believe it is God's design to give us the kingdom so that we become skilled key makers. That we get approached by somebody whose life is locked up in a way that we might not have the key for it. But you know what we do? We go to Scripture and we say, all right, God, help me find this key. Make this key. Lord, reveal this key to me. I want to see it. I want to hear from you. I want to unlock your kingdom for this person. Listen, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So again, I'm telling you, you see what I said earlier about how I can't just give you all the answers today. It's going to raise more questions than I've got answers for, because this requires, if you're going to be a locksmith in the kingdom of God, if you're going to have the keys and know what they unlock, you just got to hear it from the Lord. Now again, every week we talk about principles of the kingdom, and when we do, that's another key that adds to your keychain. But guys, God forbid, let me just say this, the time is over now. It should be done. Let's call an end to the era where we have people in churches that have loads of keys on their key rings, but they haven't tried a one of them to know what they unlock. And so here's what happens. We have people, here's what prayer has become for us in the church. Prayer has become the same thing as somebody, let's say you get locked out of your house. You can stand in your front yard and you can try to think yourself into that house all day long. Wishful thinking, if I think hard enough, or I can believe, I'm going to believe myself in the house. I believe that if I believe hard enough, that door will open. Oh, I believe it. And see, listen, y'all, the world can do that. The world thinks that way. That's no different from Natalie Wood at the end of the original Miracle on 34th Street, you know, in the back seat trying to believe in Santa Claus. And what's she saying? I believe, it's silly, but I believe. I believe, it's silly that I believe. And she believes enough, and when she gets to this house, Santa Claus's cane is there, and she gets her wishes, right? Because she believed hard enough. The world says, well, that's how you do it. And the church has said, yeah, I guess that's how you do it. So we're going to pray that way. Oh, God, please, 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 I believe. And whatever it is we're asking for, we just try to work up our belief, and we psych ourselves up enough to write, we get this emotional, wishful thinking going on. Maybe if I pray hard enough, God will give me what I want. Maybe if I confess it enough, God will give me what I want. Maybe if I psych myself up into it, God will give me. Y'all, let me tell you something. That's the same as standing in the front yard hoping to get in your house. But the house isn't opening until you find out what key unlocks that door, and you walk up and you turn the key. Now you can get in the house. Guys, that is what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to show you the keys you have and what they unlock so that you can get access to those areas anytime you need it. Now, for many of us, that's too good to believe. I mean, that's just too out there. But I got to tell you something. I have to believe. I'm ready to believe it. Lonnie, not too good for you to believe, I bet. You can get access into raising the dead. You know, and Bill Johnson says this, once you learn the key to a room, you get in that room, you can go in that room anytime you need to. You don't have to ask for another key to that room. You got that key. Guys, all of you right now, all of you are like janitors in the kingdom of God. You have, in a good sense, you have these huge stretchy things filled with keys. The best, you see, janitors are servants. The best servants of the kingdom are the ones who know how to use every one of those keys. They can get in. All right. I'm going to pray for you. Any questions? Yeah. I can spell ecclesia. That's a question that I have an answer to. ECCLESIA. Depending on what concordance you're looking at, sometimes they'll do it EKK or Epsilon Kappa Kappa. So anyway, which would be a weird name for fraternity. Eck. I'm going to pledge Eck. What the Eck? So, all right. So anyway, all right. So listen, this is just I'm just adding a principle to you. I hope that even this message on keys becomes a key for you. All right, stand up with me. Let me pray for you. Let's start with ourselves, shall we? How many of you in here today would say, Mark, there's an area in my life that I need to unlock? There's something that needs to be unlocked. Lift your hand. I need a key. I need revelation. I need wisdom on how to use a key. Or I need to lock something, or I need to lock something down. Either I need to open something, or I need to close something up. All right, keep your hands up. Let's pray. Father, right now, Lord, even in this room, God, as we lift our hands, it is our cry to you. Father, reveal to us the keys of the kingdom. Reveal to us what you've already given us. Lord, show us how to close things down, how to bind things up that you've already decided need to be bound and closed. God, show us how to open things that you've already decided needed to be opened and released. Lord, we want to be those who loose things, who bind things, because we have keys of the kingdom. Lord, show us how to use those keys. Show us how to impact the world. God, show us how to change lives. Show us how to be changed by the keys that you've given us. Lord, we're listening to you. God, even as we read your word this week, Lord, just as we read something that we think we already know, we ask that you would show us a new key in what we're reading. Father, as we listen to you, speak to us a new key, something we've never heard before. Lord, we want to be those who actually enforce your will all through the earth. Lord, let us be world changers for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.